breaking it off not a foot from his hand. He cast aside his broken shield, and suddenly he was the one on the attack. Within moments, the harbor knight was on one knee, singing his surrender. For the rest of the morning and well into the afternoon, it was more of the same, as challengers took the field in twos and threes and sometimes five together. Trumpets blew, the heralds called out names, war horses charged, the crowds cheered, lances snapped like twigs, and swords rang against helms and mail. It was, small folk and high lord alike agreed, a splendid day of jousting. Sir Humphrey Harding and Sir Humphrey Beesbury, a bold young knight in yellow and black stripes with three beehives on his shield, splintered no less than a dozen lances apiece in an epic struggle the small folk soon began calling the Battle of Humphrey. Sir Tybalt Lannister was unhorsed by Sir John Penrose and broke his sword in his fall, but fought back with shield alone to win the bout and remain a champion. One-eyed Sir Robin Risling, a grizzled old knight with a salt-and-pepper beard, lost his helm to Lord Leo's lance in their first course, yet refused to yield. Three times more they rode at each other, the wind whipping Sir Robin's hair while the shards of broken lances flew round his bare face like wooden knives, which Dunk thought all the more wondrous when Egg told him that Sir Robin had lost his eye to a splinter from a broken lance not 5 years earlier. Leo Tyrell was too chivalrous to aim another lance at Sir Robin's unprotected head, but even so, Risling's stubborn courage, or was it folly, left Dunk astounded. Finally, the Lord of Highgarden struck Sir Robin's breastplate a solid thump right over the heart and sent him cartwheeling to the earth. Sir Lionel Baratheon also fought several notable matches. Against lesser foes, he would often break into booming laughter the moment they touched his shield, and laugh all the time he was mounting and charging and knocking them from their stirrups. If his challengers wore any sort of crest on their helm, Sir Lionel would strike it off and fling it into the crowd. The crests were ornate things, made of carved wood or shaped leather, and sometimes gilded and enameled, or even wrought in pure silver, so the men he beat did not appreciate this habit, though it made him a great favorite of the commons. Before long, only crestless men were choosing him. As loud and often as Sir Lionel laughed down a challenger, though, Dunk thought the day's honors should go to Sir Humphrey Harding, who humbled 14 knights, each one of them formidable. Meanwhile, the young prince sat outside his black pavilion, drinking from his silver goblet and rising from time to time to mount his horse and vanquish yet another undistinguished foe. He had won 9 victories, but it seemed to Dunk that every one was hollow.
"He's beating old men and up-jumped squires, and a few lords of high birth and low skill. The truly dangerous men are riding past his shield as if they do not see it."
Late in the day, a brazen fanfare announced the entry of a new challenger to the lists. He rode in on a great red charger, whose black bardings were slashed to reveal glimpses of yellow, crimson, and orange beneath. As he approached the viewing stand to make his salute, Dunk saw the face beneath the raised visor and recognized the prince he'd met in Lord Ashford's stables. Egg's legs tightened around his neck.
"Stop that!"
Dunk snapped, yanking them apart.
"Do you mean to choke me?"
"Prince Arian Brightflame,"
a herald called.
"Of the Red Keep of King's Landing, son of Maekar, Prince of Summerhall of House Targaryen, grandson to Daeron the Good, the second of his name, King of the Andals, the Rhoynar, and the first man and Lord of the Seven Kingdoms."
Arian bore a three-headed dragon on his shield, but it was rendered in colors much more vivid than Valar's. One head was orange, one yellow, one red, and the flames they breathed had the sheen of gold leaf. His surcoat was a swirl of smoke and fire woven together, and his blackened helm was surmounted by a crest of red enamel flames. After a pause to dip his lance to Prince Baelor, a pause so brief that it was almost perfunctory, he galloped to the north end of the field, past Lord Leo's pavilion and the laughing storms, slowing only when he approached Prince Valar's tent, The young prince rose and stood stiffly beside his shield, and for a moment, Dunk was certain that Arion meant to strike it. But then he laughed and trotted past, and banged his point hard against Sir Humphrey Harding's diamonds.
Come out, little knight," he sang in a loud, clear voice. "It's time you faced the dragon."
Sir Humphrey inclined his head stiffly to his foe as his destrier was brought out, and then ignored him while he mounted, fastened his helm, and took up lance and shield. The spectators grew quiet as the two knights took their places. Dunk heard the clang of Prince Arion dropping his visor. The horn blew. Sir Humphrey broke slowly, building speed, but his foe raked the red charger hard with both spurs, coming hard. Egg's legs tightened again.
"Kill him!" he shouted suddenly. "Kill him! He's right there! Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!"
Dunk was not certain which of the knights he was shouting to. Prince Arion's lance, gold-tipped and painted in stripes of red, orange, and yellow, swung down across the barrier.
"Low! Too low!" thought Dunk the moment he saw it. "He'll miss the rider and strike Sir Humphrey's horse. He needs to bring it up."
Then, with dawning horror, he began to suspect that Arion intended no such thing.
"He cannot mean to."
At the last possible instant, Sir Humphrey's stallion reared away from the oncoming point, eyes rolling in terror, but too late. Arion's lance took the animal just above the armor that protected his breastbone and exploded out of the back of his neck in a gout of bright blood. Screaming, the horse crashed sideways, knocking the wooden barrier to pieces as he fell. Sir Humphrey tried to leap free, but a foot caught in a stirrup, and they heard his shriek as his leg was crushed between the splintered fence and falling horse. All of Ashford Meadow was shouting. Men ran onto the field to extricate Sir Humphrey, but the stallion, dying in agony, kicked at them as they approached. Arion, having raced blithely around the carnage to the end of the lists, wheeled his horse and came galloping back. He was shouting too, though Dunk could not make out the words over the almost human screams of the dying horse. Vaulting from the saddle, Arion drew his sword and advanced on his fallen foe. His own squires and one of Sir Humphrey's had to pull him back. Egg squirmed on Dunk's shoulders.
"Let me down," the boy said. "The poor horse, let me down."
Dunk felt sick himself.
What would I do if such a fate befell Thunder?
A man-at-arms with pole-axe dispatched Sir Humphrey's stallion, ending the hideous screams. Dunk turned and forced his way through the press. When he came to open ground, he lifted Egg off his shoulders. The boy's hood had fallen back and his eyes were red.
"A terrible sight, aye," he told the lad. "But a squire must needs be strong. You'll see worse mishaps at other tourneys, I fear." "It was no mishap," Egg said, mouth trembling. "Arion meant to do it, you saw."
Dunk frowned. It had looked that way to him as well, but it was hard to accept that any knight could be so unchivalrous, least of all one who was blood of the dragon.
"I saw a knight, green as summer grass, lose control of his lance," he said stubbornly, "and I'll hear no more of it. The jousting is done for the day, I think. Come, lad."
He was right about the end of the day's contests. By the time the chaos had been set to rights, the sun was low in the west, and Lord Ashford had called a halt. As the shadows of evening crept across the meadow, 100 torches were lit along the merchant's row. Dunk bought a horn of ale for himself and half a horn for the boy to cheer him. They wandered for a time, listening to a sprightly air on pipes and drums, and watching a puppet show about Nymeria, the warrior queen with the 10,000 ships. The puppeteers had only 2 ships, but managed a rousing sea battle all the same. Dunk wanted to ask the girl Tanzel if she had finished painting his shield, but he could see that she was busy.
"I'll wait until she is done for the night," he resolved. "Perhaps she'll have a thirst then."
"Sir Duncan!" a voice called behind him, and then again, "Sir Duncan!"
Suddenly Dunk remembered that was him.
"I saw you among the small folk today, with this boy on your shoulders,"
said Raymond Fossaway as he came up, smiling.
Indeed, the two of you were hard to miss.
The boy is my squire. Egg, this is Raymond Fossaway.
Dunk had to pull the boy forward, and even then Egg lowered his head and stared at Raymond's boots as he mumbled a greeting.
Well met, lad,
Raymond said easily.
Sir Duncan, why not watch from the viewing gallery? All knights are welcome there.
Dunk was at ease among small folk and servants. The idea of claiming a place among the lords, ladies, and landed knights made him uncomfortable.
I would not have wanted any closer view of that last tilt.
Raymond grimaced.
Nor I. Lord Ashford declared Sir Humphrey the victor and awarded him Prince Arian's courser, but even so, he will not be able to continue. His leg was broken in two places. Prince Baylis sent his own maester to tend him.
Will there be another champion in Sir Humphrey's place?
Lord Ashford had a mind to grant the place to Lord Caron, or perhaps the other Sir Humphrey, the one who gave Harding such a splendid match. But Prince Baylor told him that it would not be seemly to remove Sir Humphrey's shield and pavilion under the circumstances. I believe they will continue with four champions in place of five.
Four champions,
Dunk thought.
Leo Tyrell, Lionel Baratheon, Tybalt Lannister, and Prince Velar.
He had seen enough this first day to know how little chance he would stand against the first three, which left only...
A hedge knight cannot challenge a prince. Velar is second in line to the Iron Throne. He is Baylor Breakspear's son, and his blood is the blood of Aegon the Conqueror, and the young dragon, and Prince Aemon the Dragon Knight. And I am some boy the old man found behind a pot shop in Fleabottom.
His head hurt just thinking about it.
Who does your cousin mean to challenge?
He asked Raymond.
Sir Tybalt, all things being equal. They are well matched. My cousin keeps a sharp watch on every tilt, though. Should any man be wounded on the morrow, or show signs of exhaustion or weakness, Stefan will be quick to knock on his shield, you may count on it. No one has ever accused him of an excess of chivalry.
He laughed, as if to take the sting from his words.
Sir Duncan, will you join me for a cup of wine?
I have a matter I must attend to,
said Dunk, uncomfortable with the notion of accepting hospitality he could not return.
I could wait here and bring your shield when the puppet show is over, sir,
said Egg.
They're going to do Simeon Star Eyes later and make the dragon fight again as well.
There, you see, your matter is attended to, and the wine awaits, said Raymond. It's an Arbor vintage, too. How can you refuse me?
Bereft of excuses, Dunk had no choice but to follow, leaving Egg at the puppet show. The apple of House Fossaway flew above the gold-colored pavilion where Raymond attended his cousin. Behind it, two servants were basting a goat with honey and herbs over a small cook fire.
There's food as well if you're hungry,
Raymond said negligently as he held the flap for Dunk. A brazier of coals lit the interior and made the air pleasantly warm. Raymond filled two cups with wine.
They say Arian is in a rage at Lord Ashford for awarding his charger to Sir Humphrey,
he commented as he poured.
But I'll wager it was his uncle who counseled it.
He handed Dunk a wine cup.
Prince Baylor is an honorable man.
As the bright prince is not, Raymond laughed. Don't look so anxious, Sir Duncan. There's none here but us. It is no secret that Arian is a bad piece of work. Thank the gods he is well down in the order of succession.
You truly believe he meant to kill the horse?
Is there any doubt of it? If Prince Maker had been here, it would have gone differently, I promise you. Arian is all smiles and chivalry so long as his father is watching, if the tales be true. But when he's not...
I saw that Prince Maker's chair was empty.
He's left Ashford to search for his sons, along with Roland Craighall of the Kingsguard. There's a wild tale of robber knights going about, but I'll wager the prince is just off drunk again.
The wine was fine and fruity, as good a cup as he had ever tasted. He rolled it in his mouth, swallowed, and said,
Which prince is this now?
Maker's heir, Darren. He's named after the king. They call him Darren the Drunken, though not in his father's hearing. The youngest boy was with him as well. They left Summerhall together but never reached Ashford.
Raymond drained his cup and set it aside.
Poor Maker.
Poor?
Said Dunk, startled.
The king's son?
The king's fourth son, said Raymond. Not quite as bold as Prince Baylor, nor as clever as Prince Ares, nor as gentle as Prince Rachel. And now he must suffer seeing his own sons overshadowed by his brothers. Darren is a sot. Arian is vain and cruel. The third son was so unpromising they gave him to the Citadel to make a maester of him. And the youngest?
Sir! Sir Duncan!
Egg burst in, panting. His hood had fallen back, and the light from the brazier shone in his big dark eyes.
You have to run! He's hurting her!
Dunk lurched to his feet, confused.
Hurting? Who? Arian!
The boy shouted.
He's hurting her! The puppet girl, hurry!
Whirling, he darted back out into the night. Dunk made to follow, but Raymond caught his arm.
Sir Duncan! Arian, he said. Prince of the Blood, be careful.
It was good counsel, he knew. The old man would have said the same, but he could not listen. He wrenched free of Raymond's hand and shouldered his way out of the pavilion. He could hear shouting off in the direction of the merchant's row. Egg was almost out of sight. Dunk ran after him. His legs were long and the boy's short. He quickly closed the distance. A wall of watchers had gathered around the puppeteers. Dunk shouldered through them, ignoring their curses. A man-at-arms in the royal livery stepped up to block him. Dunk put a big hand on his chest and shoved, sending the man flailing backward to sprawl on his ass in the dirt. The puppeteer's stall had been knocked on its side. The fat Dornish woman was on the ground weeping. One man-at-arms was dangling the puppets of Florian and Jonquil from his hands as another set them afire with a torch. Three more men were opening chests, spilling more puppets on the ground and stamping on them. The dragon puppet was scattered all about them, a broken wing here, its head there, its tail in three pieces. And in the midst of it all stood Prince Arian, resplendent in a red velvet doublet with long, dagged sleeves, twisting Tenzel's arm in both hands. She was on her knees, pleading with him. Arian ignored her. He forced open her hand and seized one of her fingers. Dunk stood there stupidly, not quite believing what he saw. Then he heard a crack, and Tenzel screamed. One of Arian's men tried to grab him and went flying. Three long strides and Dunk grabbed the prince's shoulder and wrenched him around hard. His sword and dagger were forgotten, along with everything the old man had ever taught him. His fist knocked Arian off his feet, and the toe of his boot slammed into the prince's belly. When Arian went for his knife, Dunk stepped on his wrist and then kicked him again right in the mouth. He might have kicked him to death right then and there, but the princeling's men swarmed over him. He had a man on each arm and another pounding him across the back. No sooner had he wrestled free of one than two more were on him. Finally, they shoved him down and pinned his arms and legs. Arian was on his feet again. The prince's mouth was bloody. He pushed inside it with a finger.
You have loosened one of my teeth, he complained. So we'll start by breaking all of yours.
He pushed his hair from his eyes.
You look familiar.
You took me for a stable boy.
Arian smiled redly.
I recall. You refused to take my horse. Why did you throw your life away? For this whore?
Tenzel was curled up on the ground, cradling her maimed hand. He gave her a shove with the toe of his boot.
She's scarcely worth it. A traitor? The dragon ought never lose.
He is mad, thought Dunk. But he is still a prince's son, and he means to kill me.
He might have prayed then, if he had known a prayer all the way through, but there was no time. There was hardly even time to be afraid.
Nothing more to say, said Arian. You bore me, sir.
He poked at his bloody mouth again.
Get a hammer and break all his teeth out, wait, he commanded. And then let's cut him open and show him the color of his entrails.
No!
A boy's voice said.
Don't hurt him! Gods be good, the boy, the brave, foolish boy, Dunk thought.
He fought against the arms restraining him, but it was no good.
Hold your tongue, you stupid boy. Run away. They'll hurt you. No, they won't.
Egg moved closer.
If they do, they'll answer to my father. And my uncle as well. Let go of him, I said. Wait, Yorkel, you know me. Do as I say.
The hands holding his left arm were gone, and then the others. Dunk did not understand what was happening. The men-at-arms were backing away. One even knelt. Then the crowd parted for Raymond Fossaway. He had donned mail and helm, and his hand was on his sword. His cousin, Sir Stefan, just behind him, had already bared his blade, and with them were a half-dozen men-at-arms with the red apple badge sewn on their breasts. Prince Arion paid them no mind.
"Impudent little wench,"
he said to Egg, spitting a mouthful of blood at the boy's feet.
"What happened to your hair?"
"I cut it off, brother,"
said Egg.
"I didn't want to look like you."
The second day of the tourney was overcast, with a gusty wind blowing from the west. The crowd should be less on a day like this, Dunk thought. It would have been easier for them to find a spot near the fence to see the jousting up close. Egg might have sat on the rail while I stood behind him. Instead, Egg would have a seat in the viewing box, dressed in silks and furs, while Dunk's view would be limited to the four walls of the tower cell where Lord Ashford's men had confined him. The chamber had a window, but it faced in the wrong direction. Even so, Dunk crammed himself into the window seat as the sun came up and stared gloomily off across town and field and forest. They had taken his hempen sword belt and his sword and dagger with it, and they had taken his silver as well. He hoped Egg or Raymond would remember Chestnut and Thunder.
Egg,
he muttered low under his breath. His squire, a poor lad plucked from the streets of King's Landing. Had ever a knight been made such a fool? Dunk the Lunk, thick as a castle wall and slow as an oryx. He had not been permitted to speak to Egg since Lord Ashford's soldiers had scooped them all up at the puppet show. Nor Raymond, nor Tansel, nor anyone, not even Lord Ashford himself. He wondered if he would ever see any of them again. For all he knew, they meant to keep him in this small room until he died.
What did I think would happen?
He asked himself bitterly.
I knocked down a prince's son and kicked him in the face.
Beneath these gray skies, the flowing finery of the highborn lords and great champions would not seem quite so splendid as it had the day before. The sun, walled behind the clouds, would not brush their steel helms with brilliance, nor make their gold and silver chasings glitter and flash. But even so, Dunk wished he were in the crowd to watch the jousting. It would be a good day for hedge knights, for men in plain mail on unbarded horses. He could hear them, at least. The horns of the heralds carried well, and from time to time a roar from the crowd told him that someone had fallen, or risen, or done something especially bold. He heard faint hoofbeats, too, and once in a great while the clash of swords or the snap of a lance. Dunk winced whenever he heard that last. It reminded him of the noise Tansel's finger had made when Arion broke it. There were other sounds, too, closer at hand. Footfalls in the hall outside his door, the stamp of hooves in the yard below, shouts and voices from the castle walls. Sometimes they drowned out the tourney. Dunk supposed that was just as well.
A hedge knight is the truest kind of knight, Dunk,
the old man had told him a long, long time ago.
Other knights serve the lords who keep them, or from whom they hold their lands, but we serve where we will, for men whose causes we believe in. Every knight swears to protect the weak and innocent, but we keep the vow best, I think.
Queer how strong that memory seemed. Dunk had quite forgotten those words, and perhaps the old man had as well, toward the end. The morning turned to afternoon. The distant sounds of the tourney began to dwindle and die. Dusk began to seep into the cell, but Dunk still sat in the window seat, looking out on the gathering dark and trying to ignore his empty belly. And then he heard footsteps and a jangling of iron keys. He uncoiled and rose to his feet as the door opened. Two guards pushed in, one bearing an oil lamp. A serving man followed with a tray of food. Behind came Egg.
"Leave the lamp and the food and go,"
the boy told them. They did as he commanded, though Dunk noticed that they left the heavy wooden door ajar. The smell of the food made him realize how ravenous he was. There was hot bread and honey, a bowl of peas porridge, a skewer of roast onions, and well-charred meat. He sat by the tray, pulled apart the bread with his hands, and stuffed some into his mouth.
"There's no knife," he observed. "Did they think I'd stab you, boy?"
"They didn't tell me what they thought."
Egg wore a close-fitting black wool doublet with a tucked waist and long sleeves lined with red satin. Across his chest was sewn the three-headed dragon of House Targaryen.
"My uncle says I must humbly beg your forgiveness for deceiving you."
"Your uncle?" said Dunk. "That would be Prince Baylor."
The boy looked miserable.
"I never meant to lie."
"But you did. About everything, starting with your name. I never heard of a Prince Egg."
"It's short for Aegon. My brother Aemon named me Egg. He's off at the Citadel now, learning to be a maester. And Daeron sometimes calls me Egg as well. So do my sisters."
Dunk lifted the skewer and bit into a chunk of meat. Goat, flavored with some lordly spice he'd never tasted before. Grease ran down his chin.
"Aegon," he repeated. "Of course it would be Aegon. Like Aegon the Dragon. How many Aegons have been king?"
"Four,"
the boy said.
"Four Aegons."
Dunk chewed, swallowed, and tore off some more bread.
"Why did you do it? Was it some jape to make a fool of the stupid hedge knight?"
"No."
The boy's eyes filled with tears, but he stood there manfully.
"I was supposed to squire for Daeron. He's my oldest brother. I learned everything I had to learn to be a good squire, but Daeron isn't a very good knight. He didn't want to ride in the tourney, so after we left Summerhall he stole away from our escort. Only instead of doubling back, he went straight on toward Ashford, thinking they'd never look for us that way. It was him shaved my head. He knew my father would send men hunting us. Daeron has common hair, sort of a pale brown, nothing special. But mine is like Arian's, and my father's."
"The blood of the dragon," Dunk said. "Silver gold hair and purple eyes. Everyone knows that."
"Thick as a castle wall, Dunk."
"Yes, so Daeron shaved it off. He meant for us to hide until the tourney was over. Only then you took me for a stable boy and—"
He lowered his eyes.
"I didn't care if Daeron fought or not, but I wanted to be somebody's squire. I'm sorry, sir. I truly am."
Dunk looked at him thoughtfully. He knew what it was like to want something so badly that you would tell a monstrous lie just to get near it.
"I thought you were like me," he said. "Might be you are. Only not the way I thought."
"We're both from King's Landing still,"
the boy said hopefully. Dunk had to laugh.
"Yes, you from the top of Aegon's Hill and me from the bottom."
"That's not so far, sir."
Dunk took a bite from an onion.
"Do I need to call you my lord or your grace or something?"
"At court,"
the boy admitted.
"But other times, you can keep on calling me Egg if you like, sir."
"What will they do with me, Egg?"
"My uncle wants to see you after you're done eating, sir."
Dunk shoved the platter aside and stood.
"I'm done now, then. I've already kicked one prince in the mouth. I don't mean to keep another waiting."
Lord Ashford had turned his own chambers over to Prince Baylor for the duration of his stay, so it was to the Lord Solar that Aegon, he would have to get used to that, conducted him. Baylor sat reading by the light of a beeswax candle. Dunk knelt before him.
"Rise," the prince said. "Would you care for wine?"
"As it please you, your grace."
"Pour Sir Duncan a cup of the sweet Dornish red, Aegon," the prince commanded. "Try not to spill it on him. You've done him sufficient ill already."
"The boy won't spill, your grace," said Dunk. "He's a good boy, a good squire, and he meant no harm to me, I know."
"One need not intend harm to do it. Aegon should have come to me when he saw what his brother was doing to those puppeteers. Instead, he ran to you. That was no kindness. What you did, sir? Well, I might have done the same in your place, but I am a prince of the realm, not a hedge knight. It is never wise to strike a king's grandson in anger, no matter the cause.
Dunk nodded grimly. Egg offered him a silver goblet brimming with wine. He accepted it and took a long swallow.
I hate Arion,
Egg said with vehemence.
And I had to run for Sir Duncan, uncle. The castle was too far.
Arion is your brother, the prince said firmly. And the septims say we must love our brothers. Aegon, leave us now. I would speak with Sir Duncan privately.
The boy put down the flagon of wine and bowed stiffly.
As you will, your grace.
He went to the door of the solar and closed it softly behind him. Baylor Breakspear studied Dunk's eyes for a long moment.
Sir Duncan, let me ask you this. How good a knight are you, truly? How skilled at arms?
Dunk did not know what to say.
Sir Arlen taught me sword and shield and how to tilt at rings and quintons.
Prince Baylor seemed troubled by that answer.
My brother Makar returned to the castle a few hours ago. He found his heir drunk in an inn a day's ride to the south. Makar would never admit as much, but I believe it was his secret hope that his sons might outshine mine in this tourney. Instead, they have both shamed him. But what is he to do? They are blood of his blood. Makar is angry, and must needs have a target for his wrath. He has chosen you.
Me?
Dunk said miserably.
Arion has already filled his father's ear, and Daeron has not helped you either. To excuse his own cowardice, he told my brother that a huge robber knight, chance met on the road, made off with Aegon. I fear you have been cast as this robber knight, sir. In Daeron's tale, he has spent all these days pursuing you hither and yon to win back his brother.
But Egg will tell him the truth. Aegon, I mean.
Egg will tell him, I have no doubt, said Prince Baylor. But the boy has been known to lie, too, as you have good reason to recall. Which son will my brother believe? As for the matter of these puppeteers, by the time Arion is done twisting the tail, it will be high treason. The dragon is the sigil of the royal house. To portray one being slain, sawdust blood spilling from its neck. Well, it was doubtless innocent, but it was far from wise. Arion calls it a veiled attack on House Targaryen, an incitement to revolt. Makar will likely agree. My brother has a prickly nature, and he has placed all his best hopes on Arion, since Daeron has been such a grave disappointment to him.
The prince took a sip of wine, then set the goblet aside.
Whatever my brother believes or fails to believe, one truth is beyond dispute. You laid hands upon the blood of the dragon. For that offense, you must be tried and judged and punished.
Punished?
Dunk did not like the sound of that.
Arion would like your head, with or without teeth. He will not have it, I promise you, but I cannot deny him a trial. As my royal father is hundreds of leagues away, my brother and I must sit in judgment of you along with Lord Ashford, whose domains these are, and Lord Tyrell of Highgarden, his liege lord. The last time a man was found guilty of striking one of royal blood, it was decreed that he should lose the offending hand.
My hand?
Said Dunk, aghast.
And your foot. You kicked him too, did you not?
Dunk could not speak.
To be sure, I will urge my fellow judges to be merciful. I am the king's hand and the heir to the throne. My word carries some weight. But so does my brother's. The risk is there.
I,
said Dunk.
I, your grace, I... They meant no treason. It was only a wooden dragon. It was never meant to be a royal prince,
he wanted to say, but his words had deserted him once and all. He had never been any good with words. You have another choice, though, Prince Baylor said quietly. Whether it is a better choice or a worse one, I cannot say, but I remind you that any knight accused of a crime has the right to demand trial by combat. So I ask you once again, Sir Duncan the Tall, how good a knight are you? Truly.
A trial of seven,
said Prince Arion, smiling.
That is my right, I do believe.
Prince Baylor drummed his fingers on the table, frowning. To his left, Lord Ashford nodded slowly.
Why?
Prince Maekar demanded, leaning forward toward his son.
Are you afraid to face this hedge knight alone, and let the gods decide the truth of your accusations?
Afraid? Said Arion. Of such as this? Don't be absurd, father. My thought is for my beloved brother. Daron has been wronged by this Sir Duncan as well, and has first claim to his blood. A trial of seven allows us both to face him.
Do me no favors, brother, muttered Daron Targaryen. The eldest son of Prince Maekar looked even worse than he had when Dunk had encountered him in the inn. He seemed to be sober this time, his red and black doublet unstained by wine, but his eyes were bloodshot, and a fine sheen of sweat covered his brow.
I am content to cheer you on as you slay the rogue.
You are too kind, sweet brother, said Prince Arion, all smiles. But it would be selfish of me to deny you the right to prove the truth of your words at the hazard of your body. I must insist upon a trial of seven.
Dunk was lost.
Your graces, my lords, he said to the dais. I do not understand. What is this trial of seven?
Prince Baylor shifted uncomfortably in his seat.
It is another form of trial by combat, ancient, seldom invoked. It came across the narrow sea with the Andals and their seven gods. In any trial by combat, the accuser and the accused are asking the gods to decide the issue between them. The Andals believe that if the seven champions fought on each side, the gods, being thus honored, would be more like to take a hand and see that a just result was achieved.
Or mayhap they simply had a taste for swordplay, said Lord Leo Tyrell, a cynical smile touching his lips. Regardless, Sir Arion is within his rights. A trial of seven, it must be.
I must fight seven men, then?
Dunk asked hopelessly.
Not alone, sir, Prince Maekar said impatiently. Don't play the fool, it will not serve. It must be seven against seven. You must needs find six other knights to fight beside you.
Six knights, Dunk thought.
They might as well have told him to find 6,000. He had no brothers, no cousins, no old comrades who had stood beside him in battle. Why would six strangers risk their own lives to defend a hedge knight against two royal princelings?
Your graces, my lords, he said. What if no one will take my part?
Maekar Targaryen looked down on him coldly.
If a cause is just, good men will fight for it. If you can find no champion, sir, it will be because you are guilty. Could anything be more plain?
Dunk had never felt so alone as he did when he walked out the gates of Ashford Castle and heard the portcullis rattle down behind him. A soft rain was falling, light as dew on his skin, and yet he shivered at the touch of it. Across the river, colored rings haloed the scant few pavilions where fires still burned. The night was half gone, he guessed. Dawn would be on him in few hours. And with dawn comes death. They had given him back his sword and silver, yet as he waded across the ford, his thoughts were bleak. He wondered if they expected him to saddle a horse and flee. He could if he wished. That would be the end of his knighthood, to be sure. He would be no more than an outlaw henceforth, until the day some lord took him and struck off his head. Better to die a knight than live like that, he told himself stubbornly. Wet to the knee, he trudged past the empty lists. Most of the pavilions were dark, their owners long asleep, but here and there a few candles still burned. Dunk heard soft moans and cries of pleasure coming from within one tent. It made him wonder whether he would die without ever having known a maid. Then he heard the snort of a horse, a snort he somehow knew for thunders. He turned his steps and ran, and there he was, tied up with Chestnut outside a round pavilion lit from within by a vague golden glow. On its center pole, the banner hung sodden, but Dunk could still make out the dark curve of the Fossaway apple. It looked like hope.
A trial by combat, Raymond said heavily. Gods be good, Duncan. That means lances of war, morning stars, battle axes, and the swords won't be blunted. Do you understand that?
Raymond the Reluctant,
mocked his cousin Sir Stephen. An apple made of gold and garnets fastened his cloak of yellow wool.
You need not fear, cousin. This is a knightly combat. As you are no knight, your skin is not at risk. Sir Duncan, you have one Fossaway at least. The ripe one.
I saw what Arian did to those puppeteers. I am for you.
And I,
snapped Raymond angrily.
I only meant...
His cousin cut him off.
Who else fights with us, Sir Duncan?
Dunk spread his hands hopelessly.
I know no one else. Well, except for Sir Manfred Dundarian. He wouldn't even vouch that I was a knight. He'll never risk his life for me.
Sir Stephen seemed little perturbed.
Then we need five more good men. Fortunately, I have more than five friends. Leo Longthorn, the Laughing Storm, Lord Cairn, the Lannisters, Sir Otho Brecken, aye, and the Blackwoods as well. Though you will never get Blackwood and Bracken on the same side of a melee. I shall go and speak with some of them.
They won't be happy at being woken,
his cousin objected.
Excellent, declared Sir Stephen. If they are angry, they'll fight all the more fiercely. You may rely on me, Sir Duncan. Cousin, if I do not return before dawn, bring my armor and see that Wrath is saddled and barded for me. I shall meet you both at the Challenger's paddock.
He laughed.
This will be a day long remembered, I think.
When he strode from the tent, he looked almost happy. Not so Raymond.
Five knights, he said glumly after his cousin had gone.
Duncan, I am loath to dash your hopes, but if your cousin can bring the men he speaks of...
Leo Longthorn, the Brute of Bracken, the Laughing Storm?
Raymond stood.
He knows all of them, I have no doubt, but I would be less certain that any of them know him. Stephen sees this as a chance for glory, but it means your life. You should find your own men. I'll help. Better you have too many champions than too few.
A noise outside made Raymond turn his head.
Who goes there?
He demanded, as a boy ducked through the flap, followed by a thin man in a rain-sodden black cloak.
Egg!
Dunk got to his feet.
What are you doing here? I'm your squire,
the boy said.
You'll need someone to arm you, sir. Does your lord father know you've left the castle?
Gods be good, I hope not.
Darren Targaryen undid the clasp of his cloak and let it slide from his thin shoulders.
You? Are you mad coming here?
Dunk pulled his knife from his sheath.
I ought to shove this through your belly.
Probably,
Prince Darren admitted.
Though I'd sooner you poured me a cup of wine. Look at my hands.
He held one out and let them all see how it shook. Dunk stepped toward him, glowering.
I don't care about your hands. You lied about me.
I had to say something when my father demanded to know where my little brother had gotten to,
the prince replied. He seated himself, ignoring Dunk and his knife.
If, truth be told, I hadn't even realized Egg was gone. He wasn't at the bottom of my wine cup, and I hadn't looked anywhere else, so...
He sighed.
Sir, my father's going to join the Seven Accusers,
Egg broke in.
I begged him not to, but he won't listen. He says it is the only way to redeem Arian's honor and Daeron's.
Not that I ever asked to have my honor redeemed, said Prince Darren sourly. Whoever has it can keep it, so far as I'm concerned. Still, here we are. For what it's worth, Sir Duncan, you have little to fear from me. The only thing I like less than horses are swords. Heavy things and beastly sharp. I'll do my best to look gallant in the first charge, but after that... Well, perhaps you could strike me a nice blow to the side of the helm. Make it ring, but not too loud, if you take my meaning. My brothers have my measure when it comes to fighting and dancing and thinking and reading books, but none of them is half my equal at lying insensible in the mud.
Dunk could only stare at him and wonder whether the princeling was trying to play him for a fool.
Why did you come?
to warn you of what you face, Darren said. My father has commanded the Kingsguard to fight with him.
The Kingsguard? Said Dunk, appalled.
Well, the three who are here, thank the gods Uncle Baylor left the other four at King's Landing with our royal grandfather.
Egg supplied the names.
Sir Roland Craycor, Sir Donald of Duskendale, and Sir Willem Wilde.
They have small choice in the matter, said Daeron. They are sworn to protect the lives of the king and royal family, and my brothers and I are blood of the dragon, gods help us.
Dunk counted on his fingers.
That makes six. Who is the seventh man?
Prince Daeron shrugged.
Arion will find someone. If need be, he will buy a champion. He has no lack of gold.
Who do you have?
Egg asked.
Raymond's cousin, Sir Stefan.
Darren winced.
Only one?
Sir Stefan has gone to some of his friends. I can bring people,
said Egg.
Knights, I can.
Egg, said Donk.
I will be fighting your own brothers. You won't hurt Darren, though,
the boy said.
He told you he'd fall down, and Arion, I remember when I was little, he used to come into my bedchamber at night and put his knife between my legs. He had too many brothers, he'd say. Maybe one night he'd make me his sister, then he could marry me. He threw my cat in the well, too. He says he didn't, but he always lies.
Prince Darren gave a weary shrug.
Egg has the truth of it. Arion's quite the monster. He thinks he's a dragon in human form, you know. That's why he was so wroth at that puppet show. A pity he wasn't born a Fossaway. Then he'd think himself an apple, and we'd all be a deal safer. But there you are.
Bending, he scooped up his fallen cloak and shook the rain from it.
I must steal back to the castle before my father wonders why I'm taking so long to sharpen my sword. But before I go, I would like a private word, Sir Duncan. Will you walk with me?
Dunk looked at the princeling suspiciously a moment.
As you wish, Your Grace.
He sheathed his dagger.
I need to get my shield, too.
Egg and I will look for knights, promised Raymond.
Prince Darren knotted his cloak around his neck and pulled up the hood. Dunk followed him back out into the soft rain. They walked toward the merchant's wagons.
I dreamed of you, said the prince.
You said that at the inn.
Did I? Well, it's so. My dreams are not like yours, Sir Duncan. Mine are true. They frighten me. You frighten me. I dreamed of you and a dead dragon, you see. A great beast, huge, with wings so large they could cover this meadow. It had fallen on top of you, but you were alive and the dragon was dead.
Did I kill it?
That I could not say, but you were there. And so was the dragon. We were the masters of dragons once, we Targaryens. Now they're all gone, but we remain. I don't care to die today. The gods alone know why, but I don't. So do me a kindness, if you would, and make certain it is my brother Arion you slay.
I don't care to die either, said Dunk.
Well, I shan't kill you, sir. I'll withdraw my accusation as well, but it won't serve unless Arion withdraws his. He sighed. It may be that I've killed you with my lie. If so, I am sorry. I'm doomed to some hell, I know. Likely one without wine.
He shuddered, and on that they parted, there in the cool, soft rain. The merchants had drawn up their wagons on the western verge of the meadow, beneath a stand of birch and ash. Dunk stood under the trees and looked helplessly at the empty place where the puppeteer's wagon had been. Gone. He had feared they might be.
I would flee as well, if I were not thick as a castle wall.
He wondered what he would do for a shield now. He had the silver to buy one, he supposed, if he could find one for sale.
Sir Duncan!
A voice called out in the dark. Dunk turned to find Steely.